Blog Talk Radio.
We'd like to welcome you to Missing Pages of History. This is a program that is dedicated to serving those underserved communities and to be a voice for those who are voiceless. As always on Missing Pages of History, we will always try to attempt to fill in those missing pages that we are, that we believe in, that is very valuable for us to have in order to understand the present so we can make a better future for all mankind. And to do this, as always, we have one of our contributors, a political analyst, Mr. Joyner, who has done some research on certain various topics in which he would like to fill in some of the missing pages as it relates to these topics, which we believe has an important impact on the development and the behavior of our communities and the people who live in these communities. As always, to our listening audience, we are always thankful to come in your home this evening. And to get the show on the road, we would like to welcome Emmanuel to Missing Pages of History as always. We welcome you, Emmanuel. And one of the things, Emmanuel, we'd like for you to give your understanding based upon your research on a subject matter that we think is very important to cities and communities throughout the United States, but more particularly, there are communities within the border of the state of Virginia and North Carolina that is having an impact on the world. And when I say world, in this particular case, we're talking about the development of Europe. One thing, Emmanuel, can you give us your analysis on why is there a huge swelling for U.S. wood pallets to be shipped over and to be delivered to Europe? Why is the European has such a demand for U.S. wood pallets? And how is this impacting on the various communities in the state of Virginia and North Carolina and Salem? Emmanuel.
Good afternoon. There has been a massive additional demand for logs, wood pellets, export from the United States. They nearly doubled last year and at 1.6 million tons. And that's in 2011, right? In 2012, it went to 3.2 million tons of wood pellets exported to Northern Europe, basically. And again, they're talking about by 2020, it'll be close to 40 million tons. Wow. More than 90% of these wood pellets are going to Europe. They're going to use it in foreign power plants to help meet European renewable energy targets. Now, this is, what is it doing to the economy? I mean, to the ecosystems, you might say. You're destroying them. You can't replace it, first of all. It takes too long of a time to do that. And these biomass companies, it's going to lead to fragmented landscaping in our country. And also, at the same time, it's going to have a negative influence on the water quality and also the flooding. Also, the wildlife corridors, the habitat of animals and this type of thing, recreation resources. So, again, these plantation pines will incentivize future conversions of the few remaining natural resources that we have. And where these areas are located, basically? In the southeast section, because that's where the pines are, where I call them plantation pines. We don't have any inadequate forestry regulations. We have weak certification systems in the southeast. Well, again, it's where these trees are basically found. We're talking about carbon. We're talking about what it does to our health. Again, what is it doing to our forests? We have to sort of put up some type of fight against it. Because, again, the high carbon biomass is in the operations. So what they need to do is establish some type of policy to protect, of course, protect the climate. But you want to help this also affects the climate change before you expand your biomass operations. No one trying to stop it. We're just trying to make sure we clean it up. Of course, they got to ship, and you got to ship away from fossil fuels toward low carbon and sustainable technology. We can get that done. Energy efficient wind, solar, and sustainable biomass fuels. So our situation on reliance on high carbon biomass fuels, such as wood pellets, which is manufactured from whole trees now, that's delaying the transition and worsens climate exchange. So you're basically attacking our valuable carbon-rich forests. So we're going to keep reporting on this as we go along. And the companies that are doing this, of course, is called Enviva, E-N-V-I-V-A. They're going for their first, I guess you might, IPO. They're going for $100 million. They're already registered. I think they're going to file it October the 28th, which has already been filed. It's probably because you know how you file and everything else has already been done. So, again, trying to raise $100 million to expand the operations, and they want to increase demand in Northern Europe. They want to increase demand in South Korea and also Japan. So, again, it's going to be substantial. And, again, they're raising money to make sure they'll probably go into Asian customers, too, in the near future. They're going to make sure they capture, I would say, a significant portion of the, you might say, the expected future demand and growth. So, again, that's why they're going IPO. Enviva Partners LP. So they already filed a registration statement with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission. They talk about $100 million initial public offering. That's a lot of money to do a lot of expansion. Now, let's talk about the company just a little bit. Quite a few other companies also. They also operate in certain states, North Carolina, Virginia, operated in Florida, tried to buy that plant called Green Circle. I think it's called Green Circle Bioenergy Incorporated. They're going to buy that company in Florida. So right now they're getting a lot of leverage in the southeastern part of the United States, and that's where they're going. So look again, look at some of the things that no one want to stop future growth for any type of energy, but again, we got to make sure it's clean energy. And that's what these companies are not, they're not worried about the clean energy, they're not, you know, how they do certain things. The thing they're trying to do now is acquire, you know, acquisitions, that's number one, to expand the geographic reach, also to serve, again, Asian countries like South Korea, and Japanese demand is getting very high, you know, getting very, very high too. And also, it can serve commercial and residential heating markets in the future. So, again, there are some good things going on with it at the same time. But again, we got to look at the environment, what's going on with that, and how they interfere with that, and what is the consequence of what happened there. So I'm not saying, not trying to stop them per se. We just wanted to basically say, our fight against them base is this, that get a moratorium out there. And anytime you're using high carbon biomass in your operations, you got to establish adequate policies to protect the climate and forest before expanding. All we're saying, you know, biomass operations, all I'm saying is just look at it, you know, look at it as another source of energy. Yes, we are. But make sure it's clean energy. And put delays out there until you get these areas cleaned up. So, again, we're talking about for your transition and worsen climate change and threatening basically our valuable and carbon-rich forests. Let's clean your act up first. Let's get this done before we do anything. Make sure this is done. So, again, we support you and make, you know, on both, on making a balanced equation here. But at the same time, you need to clean up the areas that are totally concerned, and that is environment.
Emmanuel, can you speak to some of the concerns the various communities may have had or is having in relationship to the type of areas where they are cutting trees down, like, for example, in Chesapeake, Virginia? If you look at the community, normally a community where people have, they are not influenced communities, and they saying that it's created a problem in their communities. But in terms of where they are doing this mining, what type of communities would you describe where these minings, cutting down the trees, are being done, and what kind of reasons or why they're choosing those communities versus other communities that may be more
important? Well, they're choosing communities, of course, where they're expanding roads, subdivisions. Mainly, I told you again, I call them, you know, basically plantation pines. Wherever they are is what they're doing. But the big part is when they do this in these communities, again, the buildings are basically disproportionate to, you know, they're not going into, you might say, affluent communities out in the suburban communities that much. They're going out in the highways. They're going with subdivisions mainly built, you know, for minorities, this type of thing, where you have less, you know, less of everything, less, you know, less tolerance. They have less, you know, spokespeople talking about it. People are just moved out of the community. You have no idea what people are getting sick behind it from the dust and everything else that's coming. They, you know, their transportation system is 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. It's very noisy. It's very dusty. They're leaving the community in a lot of stress. They don't grind the stumps up. Things they do not do. The whatever falls off the truck that stays out, they don't come and try to pick it up or clean up nothing afterwards. So these are the kind of things that we need to be done. And that's ecologically valuable to the people who bought a home. So, of course, your home value is not going to go up much because, again, look at the stress you got, different types of stress you got coming up in there. So this is where they're going, and in the southeast is where the pines are. And, again, as we do, we're going to continue this, and as we study this and look at the communities they're going in, but the communities I know they're going in right now are very, in the southeast, where they're going to areas that, they got to go to live trees. And again, they go in the areas where storms have come across, where flooding has happened. Those trees probably won't grow again. So they're picking up, they're doing a good disparity of what they're doing. But again, as you expand larger and larger, I mean, you can't do what you're doing now. You're going to do something different. They're going to make sure they get the governors aboard. They're going to make sure they get mayors aboard and everybody else and get aboard. And again, we're going to talk about the subsidizing, where the money is going. We're going to get chopped that out the next time around. We're going to do a segment on our show each time around. We're going to devote some time to Enviva, so they do what they need to do. It's very simple. Everybody,
okay,
we'll be
like
charting geographically what communities, percentage of minorities, or, you know, exactly what zip codes they're going in and everything else. That'll tell us a lot of why they, you know, targeting these communities, these particular areas, who travel these areas most of the time. So all these kind of things we have to look at and probably do a little bit more research on this.
Okay, we'd like to inform our listening audience. You're listening to Missing Pages of History. As we speak about the various subjects tonight, we'll let you call in at 818-337-0016. 818-337-0016. If you have any views or comments, please just hit 1 and we'll bring you in, and we'd like to have your comments. Before we move, we do have a listening audience right now who has a question or comment, and we will recognize your last phone number. Okay, we're going with our first caller, caller 9289. So far, based upon the subject area that we're discussing, what would you like to say to our analyst today? Caller 9289, you're on Missing Pages of History.
Okay, the only thing I'd like to say is it's funny, something like what's going on with that company needs to be put out in our community so we're aware of it, because I'm pretty sure I've never heard of it, but I'm pretty sure there's a lot of other people that are listening to us and never had any idea about it. As Mr. Joyner, what can we do to make these people in these areas aware of what's going on?
Well, we can post certain things on Facebook and Twitter, use all the media we can. Also, we can investigate Securities and Exchange Commission, make sure they have a registered, which is, I think it's called Form S-1. And again, the Enviva Partners LP, that's what they're going up under. Exact name of registered, specified in their charter. So instead of looking at Enviva, where they're located, is 70, I'm going to give that out to everybody, 7200 block of Wisconsin Avenue, Suite 1000, Bethesda, Maryland. Bethesda, Maryland. And again, I have a telephone number for them. They got their, of course, you know, they got their incorporation organization out of Delaware, where most everybody go, Delaware, to get it. And, of course, I'm going to give you the number again. It's 301-657-5560. That'll be posted on our website. But again, we got to find out, do a SOS. I call SOS on them and make sure that, SOS will save our, Southern Forest. But again, we can contact certain companies. The paper companies has effect impacting them. In fact, you might say Southern Forest maybe impacting our packaging. Because paper, you know, woods are used for all that. So how it's going to pack, it's going to make our office supply stuff go up. So we got to look at a lot of challenges here. We need to do a national day of action to see what's going on. So again, there are 20 wood pellet facilities. There are 20. And 33 more is being proposed. All about biomass energy is bad for our income. All we say we're trying to do is how to improve it. This, you know, our woods are not fuel. They're not fuel per se. They're not a mainstay of fuel. A forest, like I said, again, those are things you have to look at and get some fact sheets out there exactly what it's doing to our, you know, to our country. Again, what the is we just got to make sure that what is the kickback? Are they getting, you know, what jobs are they providing? This EPV is coming with all of this. This is their ammunition. They're going to talk about jobs. They're going to talk about, you know, the economy. They're going to talk about grants. Thing they're going to talk about. These are kind of things they have to look at and make sure they update it to a certain thing. Look at Pacific development timelines and make sure they got permission to do what they're doing, who's giving them permission for what they're doing. So make sure that, you know, I gave you the contents, but go on the website. And they got a lot of stuff on it because they're trying to sell this. They already sold it, basically. So when you do a security commission exchange type, and you do it again to IPO, that made you in. That made you in like Flint. So this is where we are. We're in like Flint now. So all we got to do now is make sure that the process plant facilities, they're safe, not how much have they hurt the environment, put a measurement on it and everything, and make sure the EPA gets involved. That's what we can do. Make sure the EPA gets involved, because once they get into stock and people get invested, they want money. Investors don't care. As long as they ain't near the plants, they're fine. They're fine. As long as they're not near the plant, they're not breathing that stuff, it's carbon stuff, so they're fine. That's how capitalism works. As long as it's not affecting them, affecting someone else, not coming up north with it, not going out west with it, because pine trees are not out there, they don't care. They don't care.
Okay, Emmanuel, let's move on to our next caller. We can call off the caller. The last phone number is 2060. 2060. Your question or comment, please. Welcome to Missing Pages of History. Caller 2060, you have a question or comment, please. Okay, we move on to our next caller. Giving everybody the opportunity to give in that question or comment. We have caller 6057. Caller 6057. Welcome to Missing Pages of History again. Before our caller speak to our listening audience, if you have any views or comment, please make sure you hit number one if you'd like to get on the board to ask your question or comment. Yes, caller, you're on Missing Pages of History. Caller 6057.
Greetings. Yes. Just a comment in terms of, the deforestation, going on. Let's see. Just a general comment that really, in order to prevent the destruction of the forest, it entails a change in the economic system and the way we consume our resources. Our resources are finite; they aren't limitless. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. What capitalists count on people not understanding is that our resources are very limited. And as long as the ruling class makes their profits, they don't care how it affects, the working people and the poor masses who have to live with the implications of this, loss of this vital resource and the health effects.
Okay, Mr. John, your final comment on the subject, and then we'll go to the next topic.
Well, the call is correct. They really don't care about making money. It's investors. And when you go to an IPO, you're getting investors. They're talking about $100 million. That's no chunk change. So they're going to expand. They have 33 more places proposed. They're buying up some of the docks or seaports, you might call them. They're buying them or investing in those, too. So they have the ruling in those places. They can do what they want to do, ship that stuff, ship them out of there. And, again, the cost, I have no idea what the cost is per bag or how they do it. As we do this program, I will learn more and more about it. And, again, go to Facebook, go to Twitter, go to NBiva, go to their webpage. They'll tell you some things. But also go to some of the other alternatives who are basically going against them. I might say the reasons why they don't want it. And need to go to their webpages also. So how do we, extend our platform? But again, the campaign platform is an emerging environmental disaster in my books on the way across the Southeast. And energy companies are moving quickly to cut our southern forests and burn the trees as fuel for electricity generating power plants. So is dirty is doing this pellets are dirtier than coal. Burning whole trees is worse than burning coal. So again, we want them to clean it up. Once a forest is destroyed through industrial logging, the community's banished, told they're gone. So that's what we're talking about. The quality of life and our well-being just go out the window. and Pino Forest are their home to our native, you know, to our native animals. So to sum it up, we got to challenge them and let them know we're not, you know, we're for progress. Again, you're shipping it to other countries, to Europe, which don't have no trees. They have destroyed all their trees doing this. Now they want our trees. So again, you know, again, what's the impact on the paper industry, supply, this type of thing? Well, how, you know, what's going to happen? Are we going to pay higher for these because, again, demand and supply? Well, that's the impact. We have to look at all of that. Because all these are tentacles of what's going on. All anything is paper. Well, you send it over there, you're cutting up trees and logs to make pellets, good pellets. So again, look at the whole thing. We look at things again from the skirt point of view. We got to look at the whole dress, the whole suit, not just the pants. Because again, it's going to impact all our paper needs. From toilet tissue down to napkins to Kleenex, I mean, the paper towels, to, you know, to our copy machines, paper. It's going to affect everything. So you're going to watch these, or you see if they go up. They're definitely going to go up. Of course they are. You're talking about 40 million tons in 5 years. We're at 1.3 million tons now. That's easy math. What it's going to impact.
Okay, Emmanuel, we're going to stop right there. Let's move quickly. Our time is limited to our listening audience. This is Missing Pages of History. We come on a bi-weekly basis at 12 noon. You can always reach us at 818-337-0016, or you can go to our blog, Talk Radio, link at www.blogtalkradio.com/missing-pages-of-history-inc. And as always, coming up on December 6th, we have a quarterly fundraiser. For more information, you can reach us at 804-726-3217, or you can email us at Missing Pages of History, Inc. 1 at Yahoo, Missing Pages of History 1 at Yahoo.com. As always, we like to deal with issues that are affecting our communities, and one of the things that's been in the major media today, Emmanuel, is the TV saga of Bill Cosby and accused of sexual assault. What are the missing pages on this story? From your understanding, Emmanuel, can you elaborate to our listening audience and to our audience for those who may be listening to us on the website? Please go to dial in at 818-337-0016. We'll go over for some additional time to discuss this matter. But if you don't hear this whole program, please visit our archive. So right now, Emmanuel, the Bill Cosby saga as relates to the media, what are the missing pages as relates to this phenomenon? What is your take on this?
Well, it's still basically sort of new. They're still, they might just sifting out things. I think you got some broke women, B-R-O-K-E, broke women, like the TV show Broke Girls. I think here's some that's 30, 40, 50 years of you know, got legs on it all of a sudden. I don't know how much is true. No, I wasn't there. Nobody else is there. He's not making no comments on it because it's, how you remember things 30, 40, 50 years ago? Can't. Some of them filed bankruptcy, some on drugs. They have no money. And Bill Cosby got plenty of money. But I think he's worth $400 to $500 million. So basically what he did last time was pay the young person off, take that person off. And that's what they're expecting, money. They're trying to damage his image, everything else. It's what they do to successful black men. This is part of their resume. Destroy black people in the way they possibly can. And again, like I always said, it's out there. You're supposed to report negative news on black people 90% of the time. Again, keep yourself positioned 90% of the time. And that's what they do. So understand that. That is out there. That's been out there. And it's there. And that's what they do. So again, that's why Bob Johnson got out the business. Bought a basketball team, went crazy with that. He got out the business. Sold to Michael Jordan. Maybe I like Michael Jordan more. They don't want a businessman to own a basketball team. When Michael Jordan's a businessman now, But he's a basketball player, and he's well known through Nike, everything else. So, of course, Michael sort of accepted. And so you look at that. Bob Johnson out of Princeton, not accepted. Barack Obama out of Harvard, not accepted. So you're fine. You go to a black university, basically, you accept it because they know they're going to keep you in your place some type of way. See? So this is what it's all about. He's a doctor, PhD. Bill Cosby done some great things. He got a book out called Cosby. Fantastic book. And people do these things to you when you're successful. Do all kinds of things to you. Why report something 30, 40 years ago that happened? You can go to Hollywood and get this story from almost anybody out there during that particular time. A womanizers. Let's get it square. Let's get it straight. You think Frank Sinatra was a good guy? All these guys didn't do anything? Please. Why Bill Cosby? Why now? Okay. So you look at certain things that people do to people, and they have, again, they target people. They target certain people. And again, when you target people to a certain extent who have done good and good, have done very well, he's the largest of black art in the world, stuff in for Smithsonian Institute, gave Spelman $20 million, gave Morehouse X amount of dollars. I mean, all the stuff he do has done. When he speak against something, he speaks very friendly and tell you exactly what it is. We don't like facts. We like falsehoods. We like lies. We love lies. Lies sell. The truth don't sell. Lies do. How the truth is activated. Bill Cosby is the activator for lies now to a certain extent. That's all I can say. Because 30, 40 years ago, these ladies looked like they were very permissive. Some of their statements, he knocked on your door, you let him in, and he rapes you, Bill Cosby. Come on with something better than that. Gave me $10,000, put me up in a house, this and that. Is that rape? I don't think so. 30, 40, 50 years ago, these are broke women. Read their resumes, what has happened to them since. And now they're ugly, is I don't know what now. When white women get old and ugly, look out. All kind of stuff is coming. They're not desirable anymore. And that's their problem. He's successful. He got $400 million. He got a beautiful wife. He travels around his own jet plane. His wife got the airplane. They're so successful. And they don't like it because they have fulfilled some of the American dreams that come out. And we have to make sure we stand up. We can't believe people say.
Some people may argue that the real motivation behind all of this is really to so-called destroy his positive image that he has played with the African community. Do you see that as part of a motivation or try to undermine the image, the positive image that he has established as well?
He's 77 years old. His image is already out there. His image came out there in the 30s, 40s, and 50s, and 60s. And so the image is over. He's waiting on the Lord now. That's what he's waiting on. That's why he's not making no comment. Why sort himself down with this? And don't pay nobody, Bill. Don't pay a dime to nobody. Let them stay broke. Why didn't report it then? They say he gave him all kind of drugs. Some of these drugs, they're talking about him out there. Date rate drug wasn't had to be discovered then. Just crazy stuff. Crazy stuff. Trying to get some money because he's got money. Figure they give him $3, $4, $5 million apiece and go away. Who, please, don't give him nothing. What can you do 30, 40 years ago? Statute of limitation, all this stuff is over with. Why you come out with it now? Why now? No one ask him why. Why don't you do it? Some repeated answer given by some lawyer. And they can't repeat the same thing the second time around because they've basically been being coached to a certain extent.
Okay, man, you're going to have maybe a couple of minutes
that's out. Girls, that's all. Watch the TV show Broke Girls. That's what these are.
So we only have a couple of minutes left. It is one of the hot topics that is going on today is a topic around the calling for a state of emergency in Ferguson, Missouri, by the governor. What is your take on that particular call for the state of emergency before anything happened? How do you see the present situation playing out in Ferguson?
Well, this is a justice issue. They brought the federal, people out when, of course, it was kind of sometime in trying to vote, trying to integrate schools, which is what, 30, 40 years ago. But, so all that kind of stuff that's coming out with this now, just prevention, we'll put them on the map. Ferguson, they should be basically vote them. Let's vote these people out of office. Police chief, the mayor, the councilman, you are 70% African-American there. Let's take the town over. That's what they do. The blueprint is out there for what us to do. We don't follow the blueprint. The blueprint is to get retired money like they do and go to move to Florida. That's the deal. Retired police officer, 30 years, suck the money out of the community. That's what they do. They bankrupt the cities. They bankrupt these towns, and they're in the minority. They already took the money out when they were the majority. They already took the money out in retirement. Firemen took the money out, gone. Get your $60,000 to $70,000 a year, in Florida. Well, you don't have anything. So you become the police officers. You police your community. You become the firemen. You become the council people. You become the superintendent of schools. You become that. V-O-T-E. Vote. And anytime they try to gerrymander or redistrict, fight it all the way. Ask them, why are you doing it? You're doing it to cheat. You're doing it for cheating purposes only. Unfairness. They're lawless, and they're unfair. And that's what we have to do. I hate to see that happen because they're trying to ignite something. There are going to be some arrests made, of course. They're going to make you arrest because they're going to put some restrictions out there. Don't cross this line. Don't do this. Don't do that. And people do peaceful protests all the time. But look who's doing it now. See, when the teapot is doing their protest, nobody opened their mouth. Nobody said a word. But now, some of this magnitude, oh, we got a problem now. Because they don't want you to protest nothing. They let you get away in the 60s. It's not going to happen again. Not going to happen with the GOP in office. They're not going to let you do a lot of things that you didn't got away with. You got away with everything, they say. You got away with the same thing they got away with. You can't do the same thing they do. Constitution says that, basically. That you're a piece of chattel, you're a piece of property. You're not a human being. Simple as that. The Constitution says that. The Constitution needs an overhaul. Need a vast overhaul. But you got a GOP Congress, and that's going to be a problem.
Okay, we can go to our listening audience. We ask each one of them to make a one-minute statement about other issues that may have been raised tonight or something they would like to share. Then, Emmanuel, we can actually make your final comments. But we got 1 minute for Ellis audience, call 9289. Statement comment, please. 1 minute, please. 9289.
Okay, the only thing I say is a shame because they basically set up that town to cause confusion from the beginning. I think if they would have just let the ones protest or protesting and just let it be, but they set the scenario to try to make them act, even with, just like just recently, they arrested some individuals with guns. But all this is just a setup to make that situation look bad from the beginning. And I just hope that people don't buy into a lot of what they're doing and what they claim going to happen and this and that. That's all I have to say.
Okay, next we're going to call a final comments. Call us 6057. Find a statement or question.
Yes.
Call
us 6057. Right. Regardless of how this has played out, unless we get organized, we're going to continue to see these events crop up in different parts of the U.S. at different times. And the only way to put a permanent end to it is to organize and join a political organization that's working for people's liberation.
Okay, Emmanuel, your friend and take some of the subjects tonight. You got about 2 minutes. If you can just give our listening audience your final summation on some of the topics that we discussed tonight.
Well, organizing is a great thing, but again, organized, you have to have money, basically. Money feeds organizations. That's the big thing about it. They're showing you that already. We have to follow the blueprint. The blueprint is out there for us to follow. Success is in the blueprint. Do the same thing. That's the only way you're going to get success is to follow the blueprint. The blueprint is already made for you. We just don't follow the blueprint. I tell everybody, don't shop Valentine's Day and don't shop Easter Sunday. Don't go to Walmart, go to these stores. That's organizing. Don't go. You hurt them in the pocketbook, that's when the only thing they understand. This is a capitalistic country, and it's run by racism. So understand the three. Understand the three. See? Only thing drives the sticks is racism. That's what drives the sticks, you know, where they're driven to. When you live in a country that's, again, we talk about race, racism and religion equals capitalism. You're going to have these kind of problems. But the blueprint is out there for you. The laws are written. Follow the laws. Vote. You vote and get them out of office. Run for office. Very simple. You everything is done a certain way based on statistics. And I want to talk about one thing real quickly. The disparity in arrest rates. You know, it's amazing that blacks are arrested at 10 times more than other races. 10 times. And this was a study was done in 70 police departments across the nation. Why are we at a higher rate than whites? Well, what drives that number? Well, to me, it's no surprise the lack of opportunity and a system that gives privilege to whites. This is what drives racism. They're the privileged few, and some are more privileged than others. You are not that privileged. They pick the right ones so they won't have that much disparity. But again, I'm going to give you some interesting statistics. When our black universities, all of them put together, the athletic program, all athletic programs put together, all black universities, Ohio State, I'm just going to name one school, has more resources than all our black universities together. One university, one white university, because it's privilege. At our 100 universities that have sports, one school, not Michigan State, Michigan, all these schools has more resources, $150 million a year. All our black schools don't have that much money together. See, that's organized. How we get away from that? The thing about organizing is follow that same blueprint. The blueprint is there. Our demand is there. I look at immigration. Immigration is something that's how this country got stuck. But look how much they're fighting immigration. They want to keep not paying taxes, but mainly the people that are hiring them. They're hiring people that don't pay taxes, so they're not paying no tax because they say they're not there, basically. So, I mean, look at who profits from that. It's just another form of slavery, basically. At least they're getting paid a little bit of something. And where are construction trades going to go if they leave or they don't dump, you know, please, give me a break. They want it all for themselves, the privileged whites. And we have to understand, we're afraid to talk up to them, afraid to base it. Ain't about organizing, it's calling people out, what you're doing. We're afraid to call people out. We're just afraid. Intimidation. I look at the president, it's crazy how they call this man all kind of names.
Emmanuel, we're going to have to stop you right there. We ran out of time. We have less than about 30 seconds. We'd like to thank our listening audience for allowing us to come in our home this evening. I remind you that Mr. Pizzy History is a bi-weekly program. The next program will take place December 6th at 12 noon. Please join us. As always, we try to deal with those issues that has an impact on our community and come from a perspective that you would never normally hear from established media. Until next time, let's always remember to do the best that we can and to strive to go forward ever and backwards never. This has been another program of Missing Pages of History, and we thank you for your support. Until next time, we look forward to talking. talking to you on D76 as we continue to fill in our missing pages of history. We thank you.